I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Supply chain. This is the Scala Report. Scala, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. And I welcome the CEO of Scala.com, Chris Riegel, who has experience, and as I do not, in the manufacturing of technology worldwide, in all major cities, for the customers of the future, tomorrow, the technology that's needed. I put all this together and asked the question, can the supply chain be solved by tomorrow's technology, not yesterday's? We see those container ships off of Long Beach, and now they're lined up 100 miles at sea, so you can't see them easily, but they're still there. We see the container ships on the other side of the Pacific, outside of the major Chinese ports such as Ningbo, lined up without adequate workers during the pandemic, but also because the supply chain is not catching up. So what is to be done? The departure point here is William Gibson, the science fiction writer's very famous quote from The Economist, December of 2003. The future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed. What are we witnessing? Is this a transformation of the business model that we call supply chain? One more quote before I turn to Chris. This is The Economist reporting about seeking tomorrow's technology. Big tech wants to find the next big opportunity, and our analysis of deals, patents, recruitments, and other yardsticks shows that cash is flowing into everything from driverless cars to quantum computing. The shift reflects a fear that the lucrative fiefs of the 2010s are losing relevance, and the fact that tech's titans are increasingly moving onto each other's patches. The share of sales that overlap has doubled since 2015 to 40%. So they are all looking to swoop into new territory. Chris, a very good evening to you. Is the supply chain new territory? Must it return in the fashion that it existed before the pandemic? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. The supply chain challenges that have been exposed in the pandemic are going to get worse this year than better. But the greater challenge is that because these supply chains, whether that be electronics or manufacturing, had offshored to China over a 20, 25, 30-year period, bringing those back to nearshore or onshore in the U.S., won't take that long, but it's not tomorrow either. So as you're starting to see in certain sectors, whether that be semiconductor or other, more and more focus with things like the CHIPS Act in trying to reshore or improve these supply chains domestically, but that is neither quick nor painless. And you will see through second quarter of this year, probably significantly worse supply chain impacts because of disruptions in China, both virus and shipping. It's going to be worse before it gets better.
So the supply chain gets worse, putting more and more emphasis on, can we solve this? I go to a possible answer. This is the Financial Times. Sometime in the spring of 2020, Sam O'Leary's phone began ringing off the hook. This is a story from the FT by Joe Miller. The callers were managers from the auto and aerospace industries. Certainly that qualifies as high tech. They were all seeking help from his industrial 3D printing business in Germany, SLM, in producing vital parts that were suddenly becoming scarce as the pandemic disrupted international shipping. Is that an answer? Is it already in place that 3D printing on demand can replace those container ships, or at least some parts of those container ships? Because, Chris, we both heard stories about a bicycle maker not being able to move his stock because one particular small part is stuck at a container somewhere off China.
3D printing makes a ton of sense if you're on an aircraft carrier at sea and you cannot get a part to that aircraft carrier and cost is no option. Could you make it on that carrier with a 3D printer? Yes. But Americans are addicted to cheap goods, whether that be consumer electronics or other items. The 3D printing capability is very cool and very capable, but it's not cheap. And within the American addiction to shopping for cheap goods, it doesn't fit that profile.
The article continues. Governments across the world have sought to address how and where components are made. In Germany, the recent chronic shortage of semiconductors led to millions fewer cars being produced than customers wanted to order. As a result, it's one of the many countries to have pledged to support the reshoring of crucial component manufacturing to protect their economies. You say then the argument about reshoring has been won, but it's the exercise of reshoring that will take time. All right, I'll go along with taking time. Is there a technology that is now not in place that would help that, Chris? Is there some way to do things new without bringing a Chinese factory or a Vietnam factory to Baltimore?
I think the best way to think about it, as it applies to the technology industry, at least with knowledge there, is that the competition that might come from China or South Korea on things like semiconductors has little to do with capability, but has everything to do with money. When you're building a new fab for semiconductors here in the U.S., that could be $5, $7, $10 billion. If you're doing that in China, the government pays 80%, 90% of that cost. If you're doing that in South Korea, the government might pay 50% of that cost. American companies and non-Asian companies are at a disadvantage because governments typically do not fund the same way that Asian governments do in the build and the partnership in those plants. There's a good and a bad side to that. The good side is the companies are free to innovate and drive new product. The bad side is they're still capital constrained. You've seen Congress try to address that with CHIPS Act, but it's still not passed. It's still making its way through the hallowed halls, but it is a financial as much as a technical or timing issue.
Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, affectionately known as TSMC, the standard high-tech producer of high-end chips and chips in general, said recently it was planning to invest $100 billion over the next 3 years to meet soaring demand as a global shortage of chips hit the automobile and other industries. The announcement came after U.S. chip titan Intel unveiled plans last week to spend $20 billion building two plants in Arizona as part of a plan to boost production at home and in Europe. We're looking at competition from very successful enterprises to enhance, to aggrandize, to expand, to invest in their business. And they're doing it, strikingly, not in China. Is that the first step towards what can be called reshoring or nearshoring? That you start with the high end, the expensive stuff, the stuff we can't do without, the chips?
It certainly helps, but again, keep in mind, TSMC or Intel are competing with state-based actors in South Korea, in China, so they're at an unfair disadvantage. U.S. industrial policy previously towards things such as dumping steel or dumping aluminum has never really applied to dumping chips, and the government needs to become more aware of the competition in that semiconductor environment. TSMC and Intel will announce this Friday a brand new fab in our home state of Ohio, just outside of Columbus, and a $20 billion investment there. So they're doing the right things to grow that capacity, but those things will take 3, 5, 7 years to bring online. They're not going to solve the shortages in February and March of 2022.
All right, I'm spending my time at the high end. Let's go to the part of the supply chain that suggests that it can be improved. I'm looking at a distribution center by Amazon, the internal part of the distribution center, a series of conveyor belts that at first reminded me of the very famous I Love Lucy episode where Lucy is employed in a conveyor belt that makes, I think, cream puffs, something with a cherry on top. And she falls behind and starts gobbling up the product in order to stay up. It's a wonderful a vision of what a conveyor belt does to human beings who are somewhere in the process. Amazon uses human beings at the last moment when the packages arrive to check the elements for mailing. Those human beings suggest can be replaced by bots, and the whole system can be replaced by something much smaller, because you don't need aisles and breathing room and lights for robots. Is that happening? Is that a next step to improve the supply chain by taking the human part out of the container ship to truck to Amazon distribution center, Amazon distribution center to a human being to the mails?
The retail business in the U.S. is extremely competitive, operates on very low margins, and has always been a tremendous driver of innovation and cost savings. A simple thing to think about would be things like barcodes that started 50 plus years ago to be able to make scanning and pricing faster and easier. The ability to bring these highly automated distribution centers and reduce the human capital needed within those facilities just helps to continue to execute on that desire to be able to say to Amazon, hey, I'd like something delivered at my house in 4 hours at a market competitive price. They cannot do that with a high element of human labor. You have to reduce costs to be able to give the customer exactly what they want.
Is that tomorrow? Are we in the midst of that? Is that part of this transformation after the pandemic? We have 30 seconds.
That's today. It will only further accelerate and become faster and faster, but there will be a societal cost that there'll be further and further disruptions in jobs that used to be warehouse or other that are lesser and lesser because of that level of automation.
The future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed. The Economist, December 2003, William Gibson, the science fiction writer. I recommend his work. Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com. Scala, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scala Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.